Book of Romans, chapter 12. We've been preaching a series of messages on the one another's in the Bible. The phrase "one another" is mentioned several times throughout the New Testament. Love one another, be not bitter against one another, preferring one another, and be not bitter against one another, and several one another's throughout the New Testament. We've just been preaching a series of messages on each one of those, and tonight we want to preach on preferring one another. Preferring one another. We'd not like to notice here in chapter 12, notice two verses here. Let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. We just don't prefer one another. We honoring, preferring one another. And so, if we care for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're going to prefer one another. And no doubt all of us like to receive recognition. There's something in us that likes to be appreciated. And there's nothing wrong with honest recognition. And there's an example of this over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn over there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'd like to notice verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, he's talking about the pastor, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So he says, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. And so he is encouraging them to honor the pastor for their work's sake. And we need to do the very same thing to one another, preferring one another. So, what then does it mean to prefer one another? I believe it means that you and I should be willing for others to get the recognition and to receive the honor. Now, preferring means treating others as more important than ourselves. You know, sometimes we can get stuck on ourselves a little bit, can't we? It also means lead the way. Or to go before and lead. To go before and lead. So we go before and we lead. We lead in this. We lead in preferring one another. And so we're to prefer one another in honor. In honor. So I want to look at this statement from two different directions. First of all, we want to notice what it does mean. And then, second of all, we want to notice what it doesn't mean. Very simple outline. So let's notice for a few moments what preferring one another does not mean. What it does not mean. It does not mean empty flattery. It doesn't mean empty flattery. There's books available today on how to flatter your way into and out of anything. There's a brand of psychology that tells you to find the hot button in every person's life. Find out what they're really interested in. And then you can use that to your own advantage. I got a few books over in my library that tell you to do all that stuff. But I believe that this will lead to manipulating. We'll manipulate people. And that's what they're doing. Paul was not talking about empty flattery when he made the statement over there in the 9th verse of our reading there in Romans chapter 12, where he said, let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. What does dissimulation mean? It means without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. And we're not going to be preferring one another in hypocrisy either. So there is a hypocritical kind of love. There is a shallow, gushy kind of love that's all words and no deeds. All words and no deeds. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, "Brother, I really love you." You know, just smile real big and just, you know. And you turn around and they're going, you know. And you've seen that, and you might have experienced that. And there's that hypocritical type of love. He's not talking about that. There's a kind of love that is manufactured. There's a kind of love that is artificial. There's a kind of love that is brittle. And it won't last. And so when we are preferring one another, and he starts out with love there in that chapter, there in Romans. And so this love will not be a hypocritical type of love. It'll not be a shallow love. It'll be a true love. So Paul was telling us that our love for one another should be sincere love. It should be sincere love. It will be an honest love. You're not saying that I love you just to be saying something. I believe when you say I love you, brother, I believe that you mean it from the depths of your heart. I believe that we ought to be very sincere. When we say we love the Lord, I believe we really ought to mean it. When we say that we love one another, I believe that we really ought to mean it. I believe we ought to be honest. There should be no hypocrisy involved in it. Don't say anything if you don't mean it. Don't tell somebody you love them if you don't love them. Don't be hypocritical about it. You be sincere. You be honest. Because if you're not going to be able to do that, you're not going to be able to prefer one another. And one way that you can tell that you love one another and that you really mean it and it's not hypocritical is that you're going to be able to prefer one another. You're going to be able to lead, and you're going to be able to let them go first. So flattery is something that every one of us should flee from. In 1 Thessalonians, notice in chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. That's in 2 Thessalonians. I want 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice 5 and 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly the way that the Word of God comes unto you. I'm going to chase a few rabbits here. That's the way that the Word of God comes. It comes in power. And the gospel, he said, our gospel came not unto you in word only. To be saved by the grace of God, you've got to hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. It's the word of God that does the convicting. The word of God is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. The word of God comes unto us in power. The gospel will come unto you in power. It came unto me in power. I can remember the day that the gospel came unto me in power. When the Lord used the word of God, He made it effectual in my heart. It affected me. The day that it came unto me in power. I never saw the gospel like I saw it the day that I was saved by the grace of God. It came unto me in power. I believed about Jesus Christ. I believed about the gospel. I believed about how He died. I believed about how He was buried. But the day that the Word of God came unto me in power, I felt it. It was powerful. And so the word, the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God made it effectual in my heart, and it affected my life. And I wanted to be saved more than anything in the world that day that I was saved. And when the Word of God comes unto you in power, and the gospel comes unto you in power, you'll desire to be saved more than anything in the world. And that's the way it came here. And that's the way it'll come unto you. And not only the gospel, but anything else that you believe out of the Word of God. I remember when the first time that I heard about eternal security of the believer. Once saved, always saved. Man, I tell you what, I thought that was the greatest doctrine I'd ever heard in my life. And I still do. But I remember when it came unto me in power. And then the preacher would preach about the church and about baptism and about the Lord's Supper and about the doctrines of grace and so on. And it came unto me in power. Do you all remember when all those things came unto you in power? Brother Larry was telling me today he went several years before he saw a few doctrines that we believe and practice and so on. But he said it took him several years when he really heard it, when he really believed it. And I believe that that's the way it is. And so, notice here I in the latter part of this, and in much assurance, it had come to you in much assurance also. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Ghost. And so, flattery is something that we all should flee, and I believe this bears this out here. Paul did not flatter people into salvation. He did not flatter people into salvation. Paul did not flatter people to get something out of them. Paul did not manipulate people. And I don't believe that God will bless this kind of ministry. In Proverbs chapter 26, I'd like for you to turn back there with me just a few moments. In Proverbs chapter 26. And let us notice verse 28. He said, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Won't accomplish a thing. Won't honor the Lord at all. So in honor, preferring one another does not mean that we go around flattering each other. Got to get our way, I'll flatter them. I can get my point across, I'll flatter them, and I'll get my way. No, that doesn't work. Not at all. Preferring one another does not mean that we belittle ourselves. Sometimes people have the idea that in honor preferring one another means that we have to lie about ourselves and belittle ourselves. And these people go around saying, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. Or, I'm not worth anything. Don't ever do that. Now, notice in Romans, back here in Romans again. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, he said, For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We should not think too highly of ourselves, and we must not think too lowly of ourselves. Now, notice in verse 4 of the same chapter here in Romans, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so, if you belittle yourself, you're belittling the other members of the body here that he's referring to, because we belong to each other. Isn't that what he's saying? So I believe the humble thing to do is just to use what gifts the Lord has given us to his honor and to his glory. Now, preferring one another does not mean showing partiality. And we all tend to show partiality from time to time. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 21, he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty plain. And I know it's easy for us to show partiality in the home or on the job, in the church or whatever. But the Lord told us not to show partiality. Does not mean that we come so wrapped up in one person that we neglect another person. When we do otherwise, we're showing partiality. We're all brethren. and sisters in this one body. And we're not to show partiality. And so it doesn't mean showing partiality. All right, preferring one another does mean? It simply means putting other people ahead of ourselves. Putting other people ahead of ourselves. It also means to advance. It means to elevate. It means to promote. It also means mutual respect. Mutual respect. And I believe that this is one of the problems there in the church at Philippi. Turn back here to the book of Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. And this chapter deals with people in the submissive mind. And in verse 3 he said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Not me. I'm not going to do that. Every single one of us have a problem with that. These church members here had a problem with that. And so the word better means more important. More important. Ha! Nobody's no more important than I am. You know? And this book of Philippians, the whole book of Philippians deals with joy. Deals with joy. Paul was in jail here. And if you want a title of the book, Jailhouse Joy, I'd be all right, I guess. But he was in jail when he wrote this book. And so the way to have joy is to put Jesus first, others second, and you last. All right, that spells joy. Write that in there, book of Philippians somewhere. Jesus first, others second, and you last. And if you don't believe that works, you try it tomorrow. It works. And you know, I couldn't help but think of Abraham over here in the 13th chapter of Genesis today as I was studying this. When I wasn't riding around out in the country, went and saw where this building come from. Tore it down piece by piece, numbered it, brought it over here, put it together, and here it is. But we saw where Brother Larry took us over there where the church used to be several years ago. But here in Genesis, in chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13, verse 9, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left." And so Abraham preferred to give honor to Lot. He preferred to give honor to Lot. He said, "Okay, Lot, you go ahead and take the well-watered plain. You go ahead and take the best. I'll take what you don't want." Isn't that right? I had a brother older than me. I had two sisters younger. Mom and Dad go to town on Saturday to get the groceries. As soon as they'd go out the driveway, he'd start making some fudge.
And he wasn't preferring one another. He'd get that fudge made, and he'd cut it up, and he'd sit over there and eat a piece at a time, look at us and laugh. You know, that's not preferring one another. And then he'd say, "Scratch my back 5 minutes, and I'll give you a piece." You know, that wasn't preferring one another. But we need to prefer one another, putting others first. And that's what he's dealing with here. That's what Lot did. I mean, that's what Abraham did with Lot. And I believe that Abraham showed the right spirit. And there's some that'll abuse it. But that's not your problem. And let me say this also, that it takes love to do this. Naturally speaking, you are not going to do that. Because it is not in our nature to want to put other people first. Now, and I believe over here in Romans, in our reading, there in the 12th chapter, I believe it deals with that in the 10th verse where he said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So it's going to take love to do that. Why do you put your wife first? You put her first because you love her. Isn't that right? You want the best for her because you love her. And that's what he's referring here in telling us tonight. And I believe that it would really make a difference in our church today if people would say, "Lord, help me to get my work done, and it makes no difference who gets the honor as long as you get all the glory." Isn't that right? We all have that attitude. Whenever you find a church family where people are looking for recognition, they're looking for praise, you have some problems. You have some divisions. You have some dissension. So the next time we have the opportunity to let somebody else be first in line, let's do it. Let's do it. We have a fellowship meeting the 16th of this month. I'll tell you what, I've been to fellowship meetings. And we'll get ready. And there's always a few. They'll get up and go move around, boy. They'll get up and they're going to be first. You know? And it's just about like that every time we had something. It'd be first. In love, preferring one another. Well, somebody's got to be first. You know, that's their argument. But y'all see what I mean? In love, preferring one another. You go ahead, go first. You go ahead. You go ahead. You go ahead of me. You know. And so, the next time we have the opportunity to let our brother or sister get a little bit of recognition and a little bit of appreciation, let's encourage it. Let's encourage it. Let's not get jealous. Let's not get envious. Thank the Lord for them. Let them know how proud you are of them. Don't be jealous. May there not be in our hearts that terrible poison of envy, strife, jealousy, competition. We're serving the Lord. May we practice Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. In honor, preferring one another. Tell you what,
You didn't think these one another's were going to get us in get you in the trouble that got you into it. You're here tonight. You're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, I was thinking this afternoon. I was thinking about the Lord coming back. And what, you know, one of these days He's coming back. You hear that are lost? Jesus Christ is coming back. And sometimes we act like we got all the time in the world. You know, He didn't come back last week. He didn't come back last year. Preacher's been preaching that for years, that Jesus is going to come back. You know, the Lord said He's going to come back in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming. He could come back this evening. He could come back in the morning. He could come back before the service is over. Are you ready? You know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. Have you had a personal experience in your heart concerning the gospel? And you know what the gospel means. That you've trusted, you've repented of your sins, and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When Jesus comes back and you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be left behind. Aren't you glad you're saved? Not going to be left behind? But you're going to be left behind. That's exactly what's going to happen. They got some books out on that series at the present. Being left behind. And you're going to be left behind. You'll never have an opportunity to be saved again. Be all over. But I was thinking about that this afternoon. And I got to praying for people that were in our church that's lost and not saved. And we do want you to know we're praying for you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. The Lord says, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Nobody can do that for you. That's something you've got to do. Something you got to do. Nobody can do it for you. Salvation is not a hard thing to figure out. Not at all. It's just simple trust and faith. Repent. Trust the Lord tonight.